Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Great. Our reading for today is from John 6, verse 5 to 14, and we're reading from the ESV version. Lifting up his eyes then and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many?" I found that little bit a bit strange. Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was so much grass in the place, so the man sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given them thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish as much as they wanted. I'll read that again. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told the disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This indeed is the prophet who is to come into the world."
Thank you, Ms. Simba. Let's all bow our heads in prayer, everybody. Father, I thank you this morning that as we come into your word and desire to just really pursue what you have for us here in the house today, we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come, speak to us through your word. Lord, beyond our capacity or even my capacity to be able to break it down, I pray, Holy Spirit, that your word would be alive, sharper than any two-edged sword, be able to penetrate the hearts of those of us here today who are in desperate need of hearing from a God who saves, in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. It's so good to be with our spiritual family here today. I've really missed you over the last three. Actually, I haven't seen you since the new year. So happy new year. In my language, Manuel, it's all sung a fo. I'm really, really blessed to be back here. If you don't know my name is Nelly. I'm really blessed to be the senior pastor of Every Nation Brisbane. We have 2 locations, one meeting in Logan right there in Woodridge right now with Pastor Henry and the team there. And we're meeting here in Kupuru in Central, or South Central as we call it here. So we're really blessed that you would come and join us today. And the title of my message is, we're going through this series on miracles. How many of you have enjoyed this series so far? Like, it's been a real challenge. I know those of you who have joined us for our time of prayer and fasting, you know, I'm really believing for a lot of the things that God has shown you with regards to the miracles he wants to do in your life. And so the title of my message today is 5 plus 2 is 5,000. 5 plus 2 is 5,000. I know that many of our kids are starting school. Please don't tell them this equation because it'll confuse them and then they will not want to come to church anymore. Pastor Nelly doesn't know maths. But let me ask you this question, okay? If I was to give you $20,000 right now and give you the task of feeding 5,000 people, you thought it was just for you. If you had to feed 5,000 people right now, what would you serve them or how would you serve them? Now, immediately, okay, I want us to be honest. The first question that comes to mind, would it be this, like if I was to give you 20K, right? How many of you would immediately think about the menu? Put your hands up. 7 people. That's great. Okay. Helen, you make it 8. 8 people. Okay. How many of you would think, not about the menu, but you'd think about the venue? Like, where are we going to feed these people? How many people here? Okay. Yes, Martha. My interior designer sister extraordinaire. How many of you would say, as we say here in Australia and especially in New Zealand, if I was to give you 20K and you were to feed 5,000 people, you would say, like we say here in Aussie or in NZ, we would say, yeah, nah. How many of you would say, that's not going to be enough? Put your hands up. Okay, I don't know. What are the rest of you thinking? That's what I want to know. Because I've only seen like 10 hands the whole time. Well, I don't know about you because, you know, like, obviously being a pastor of a church and we here gather to eat spiritual food, I often think about the venue and creating an environment of which we can dine on the Word of God, because the Word of God is like food to our souls. How many of you believe that? And so when I look at these pictures, not to evoke conversations immediately about what you're having for lunch after the service, but when I think about what's required to feed that number of people, I do think about the logistics of it all. That's just what goes through my head. Hopefully this is not evoking other thoughts in your head right now. But I'm also thinking about the way that food flows. Some of us come from cultures, right, where if you spread a meal out like this, people come out with Tupperware immediately. See, the ones that are laughing, those are the cultures right there, right? A Tupperware, or in some of our real gangster cultures, you come out with what we call rubbish bags, because you come ready to load. Oh, this will be good for Tuesday. This will make it. But the question I would ask, right, like when you think about these sorts of logistical questions or how we're going to feed people, it's generally, is there enough? Is there really going to be enough? In my family, and the expression has changed towards our staff as well, because we've shared with our staff about this acronym. And the acronym is, and I'm going to share it with you all because you're family, all right? And maybe you can use it in your family as well. But the acronym is FHB. FHB stands for Family Hold Back. Because that means, okay, we've only got enough for the visitors. So I don't want us as a family to eat all the food and the visitors don't eat anything and they never want to be our friends anymore. So we need to FHB. So like if we see that, you know how it is sometimes, you know, you get the cousins, they come over and they say it's just going to be the cousin and the wife. And then the cousin and the wife brings the wife's family as well as the cousin's family. And then they have kids. And the last time you saw them, they were this high, but now they're this high and they bring this high appetites as well. And that's an FHB moment, right? Because you're only thinking you're feeding a couple, but now you're feeding a village, and you're not prepared for that. And this was that kind of case, right? This was that kind of scenario where they expected to only have a few people. In fact, I will just convey this now. This actual encounter happens in all of the Gospels. For those of you who don't know, this passage that was just read by Masimba, there's actually parallel passages in all of the Gospels. There are four Gospels, what we call Gospels, which describe the life of Jesus in the Bible. Can you name them for me, everybody? Okay, if you don't know them, it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. When I was young, growing up in what we used to call Sunday school, we would always remember them, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Hold the horse while I get on. So that just a little rhyme for you. You will never forget it because you think it's corny now, but it'll be in your brain forever and ever. And so in John's account, what we're reading here at the start is he's lifting up his eyes, right? Let's see this passage. He lifting up his eyes then and seeing a large crowd was coming towards him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do, because Jesus is God. Now he's lifting up his eyes, so we got to understand what the scenario is here. Just to remind us from last week when I was teaching on Jesus healing the paralyzed man, I mentioned to you all that John differs from the other three Gospels. If you can describe them, it's like four different sources describing what's happening. If you can imagine this, it's like ABC, SBS, Channel 9, and CNN all reporting on the same event. And they all have their angle on it. John's angle differs from the other three. in the sense that John is number one, he wants to highlight specific things. He's into symbols and mentions everything purposefully, as opposed to Luke, for instance, who is a doctor, like a physician by employment. So Luke will describe everything in detail. And that's why if you read chapters in Luke, sometimes they extend for over 50, 60 verses, is because Luke doesn't want you to miss anything. Whereas John is saying, I want to specifically highlight these things. I mentioned last week that John uses I am statements 7 times, describing Jesus as I am the door, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And what we're going to see here is that he is the bread of life. And there's purposefully 7, because 7 is the number of completion, perfection. It's the number of God himself. Jesus is God. We see 7 miracles, of which this is one of those miracles. So when John brings about his angle on telling this story, there's a difference here, okay? He doesn't tell what happens to cause Jesus to look up, but what I want you to note here, in Matthew chapter 11, you can look it up and read it in your own time, but actually before Jesus feeds these 5,000, and it's actually 5,000 men, not counting the women and children, when he hears that these people are coming, when what he's actually looking up from is from a time of mourning, because he's grieving the death of his dear friend / cousin, John the Baptist, who was beheaded in the king's court. And so if you can imagine this, right? He hears the news of the man who had baptized him, who'd been instrumental in his ministry, helping him to get started, and he'd been killed at the request of the queen and the queen's daughter, Salome, and he had been beheaded. Hearing this news, how many of you know, like, Jesus has every right to take the day off? And the Bible actually says in Matthew 14, when he looked up, he saw the crowd, and when he saw the crowd, he had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. I find that so powerful. That Jesus, despite his time of grieving and mourning, still was anointed enough by the Holy Spirit in the presence of the Father to be able to turn around and pour himself out for the people who were following him. And so when we read here in John, lifting up his eyes then, seeing a large crowd that was coming towards him, Jesus says to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" How many of you know Jesus knows the answers already? So what was the point here? Like, why does he ask Philip? Because he's wondering whether Philip knows the answers. And many times, how many of you have noticed, like, if in your journey with God, for those of you who are followers of Christ in the room today, you hear the Holy Spirit asking you questions. It's not that he doesn't know the answers. It's that he's trying to figure out whether you know that he is enough. See, the question wasn't necessarily, is there enough? The question was generally and genuinely, is the God that you walk with enough? Think about the last time you went through a trial. Maybe some of you are going through a trial right now, like a hard time. And think about the first thing that you did. Okay, let me just name one off the top of my head. Immigration, for those of you who have migrated from another nation to this nation. And there's ways that you can migrate to this nation and trust God. But then there's also ways where you can document things and live in a certain scenario so that you can somehow slide into favor with customs and immigration. Now, is that trusting God or is that trusting in your own solutions? This is really what God is putting to the test. It can be a situation at work where integrity says go this way, or God would say go this way, but you can kind of slide through and no one else will see. Is that trusting that God is enough for you? Not cutting corners, being a person of integrity. Because essentially, following Christ is a matter of trust. Being a worshiper of Jesus is not just a matter of what you sing, it's a matter of you trusting in the God that you sing about. So we move on to the next verse. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little. I want you to notice the language here. 200 denarii. Now, that doesn't mean anything to anybody in Brisbane in 2023. What's 200 denarii? 20,000 Australian dollars. That's why I asked you the question. If I was to give you 20K and tell you you had to feed 5,000 people, let's not even say 5,000 men, 5,000 people, would you think about creating the environment? Would you think about what should be on the menu? Or would you say, yeah, nah? Because Philip was like, yeah, nah. 200 denarii. A denarii is generally like a day's worth of pay for a general person. So if you count into inflation, it works out to around 14.5K US, which is between 20 and 21,000 Australian dollars in current exchange rates. I did the research. That was on Tuesday, all right, just in case. Things have shifted since then. So there's two thoughts at this point, right? Is he being calculative? So he's calculating in his head, okay, this is exactly how much it's going to cost. Or is he being cynical? What are you thinking, Jesus? Do you see this crowd here? 5,000 men, not counting the women and the kids. And you want us to feed them? We don't even have anything, let alone 200 denarii. So he's forgetting about the one who he's with. And the reason why we can see why he's forgetting the one he's with is we can see this in the language. Let me break this passage down a little bit. This will not be enough for each of them to get a little. How many of you know that God is a lot more than just a little? And he's a lot more than just enough. When God covers something, he covers it hugely. I'm going to quote this psalm twice today. Psalm 23, the most popular psalm in the Bible. Psalm 23 talks about how he prepares a table in the presence of our enemies and your cup runs over. There's an overflow. When God anoints and provides, it's to the overflow. Why? Because he doesn't want just for you to have enough. He wants you to have more than enough so that you can be blessed to be a blessing. That's the kind of God you serve. But do you believe him? Do you trust him? Or is it like, yeah, nah? This will not be enough. Now, you don't have to put your hands up right now. You can lift up a rock eyebrow if you think this has happened to you. But how many of you over the last 3 years have had a not enough moment? Like, you look at the amount of income you make and you look at the expense, the sudden expense sometimes, and you're like, this will not be enough to even give a little. The tendency at that point is to not trust God. Interestingly, right? Not as much here in Australia, but in the US, we use the expression bread to describe our cash, our money. How much bread do you make? But I want you to notice this about God and God and his nature. When he is the provider of your bread, when he is your daily bread, when he is the living bread, then you will always have more than enough. This is not the prosperity gospel, which says that it's all about the money, that Christianity is all about the provisions. So, you know, you deposit in God's bank and God's going to bless you to the point where, you know, like Lamborghini blessings, tithe for a Tesla, right? This is not for that. What we are saying here is that when you trust God, he always overdoes it and always overblesses so that you can be a blessing, but he's always looking at the condition of your heart. And here in Australia, there's a tendency for us to forget that where our treasure is, there also our heart is. And that's why Philip says, we do not have enough to even give them a little. See, the we hasn't included he. You don't have enough. But the guy you're with happens to be God wrapped in human flesh. So it's almost like the we does not include he. And how many times has even in our own experience, when we see that we don't have enough, we immediately think about the we not including he. And he becomes more of an ornamental picture on our wall, or he becomes more of an ornament on our jewelry, but he does not become the king of our heart, let alone our wallet. We don't trust him. We don't trust in the God who never leaves out, but he is always more than enough. So one of the disciples, Andrew, I don't know about Jesus, but in my own mind, my own imagination, Jesus said to Philip, okay, what are we going to do? And Philip gave his answer. And in my mind, Jesus might have been like, wrong. Okay, next disciple, right? One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many? At least Andrew does submit an answer, a solution. There's a young boy here with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now, I have a couple of questions here at this point. Where's Andrew's lunch? Why is he doing like human child trafficking and taking lunch from a young boy? And then my second question is, of all the 5,000 men plus women and children, you mean to tell me that you're following God and you don't have any, like, you didn't bring even like a ice cream container filled with like some leftovers from last night, because you knew you're going to be out there long, because Jesus preached long, right? Like, what were you expecting? Here's a further question. As a disciple of Christ, you should be prepared. You should bring your lunch so that you can be the vessel that's used. Not some little boy. Can you imagine? You know, my brother Masimba has a young son named Manla. It's the life of the party upstairs at Kids Church right now. I'm telling you right now. But can you imagine me going up to this young boy, going up to Masimba's son, and then taking his lunch and saying, hey, Jesus, we have 5 loaves and 2 fish. I mean, think about that for a while. Masimba would, well, first of all, he'd try to knock me out. Secondly, he'd be like, where's your lunch? Why don't you bring your lunch? Like, did you ever think about that? We always present that, you know, like when I was growing up and I used to read the Sunday school, like booklets of this, there's always this little boy holding his little wrapped lunch and there's this halo around him. Ah, holy lunch, holy lunch. But I was always thinking, like, what are these grown men doing? They didn't bring anything. And so they go to the vulnerable and take from them to give to Jesus. There's something in that. What do you have to bring to Jesus? Isn't it? This is a lesson for all of us adults, for those of us who are in the room that are adults, all right? We teach our kids a lot of what we don't exemplify ourselves. And then when the crunch comes, we expect our kids to act in a way we never did. What sort of model is that for them? Now, I grew up in an environment, you know, like where I've had uncles ask me, yeah, I'll just borrow some of your Christmas money and then I'll bring it back. And, you know, never came back. And it's just kind of like that moment where Andrew would have taken this boy's lunch and said, hey, here we go, Jesus. I'm thankful that the story redeems itself and this boy becomes a hero in the history. But notice that the Bible doesn't even mention his name. He's not seen, right? It's just the vessel that God would use. The question I have for all of us as adults, like, what do you have to bring to God today? Don't look at the next generation. Of course they'll have something to bring. I prophesy that over the next generation, especially of our church. Like, I love being with our young people at youth and seeing their hunger. A lot of them are hungry to learn about God. That aside, what do you have to bring? What are we prepared to do? See, Jesus' question was, where are we to buy the bread so that these people may eat? He didn't say, where are you to buy the bread? He didn't say, where are they to buy the bread in terms of the crowd? He said, where are we to buy the bread? Because Jesus wants to be involved in the process. See, we become so reliant on our own capacity that we forget there's a we to it. And Jesus is never invited to the party of multiplication. There's a we-ness to his solution. There's a we-ness to the miracle. What ends up happening is we pursue some form of manufacturing of what might be an environment that looks like God, but it's has a form but lacks the power thereof. How many of you know God wants to show up powerfully in your life? And even then, they took this boy's lunch. And God asks, what are you bringing? Because I'm bringing the power. What are you going to bring? I grew up in a culture as a Samoan to always, like when you are, and I don't think it's generally a Samoan thing because I've seen it in other cultures, but I grew up in a culture where, you know, like if you are the one that has invited somebody to lunch, you are the one that has to pay for it. It's just like in the back of your mind. And we always pay the, you know, we always play the game of who can get their debit card to the restaurant owner first, right? Or sneak it in. Or maybe before, if you get there first, you just say, hey, anything we order, just put it on this card. That's a little trick for those of you who don't know. But then I also have friends that didn't grow up in that culture, and they do the old, oh, are you sure? And they do it every time. Like, don't think I'm not noticing. Like, okay, this is the fourth time we've had lunch, and you, are you sure? Sometimes I feel like saying, oh, actually, I'm not sure. Or they do the broke man's haka. You know, the broke man's haka. Can't find my wallet. Where is my wallet? Can't see it anywhere. And this is the attitude of which these disciples, like they're following Jesus. They want to be around the life of the party. But when it comes time for them to offer something to God, they're like, are you sure? You got this? They probably, you know, took the boys lunch and went, are you sure? Amnesty International on behalf of the boy would have arrested those disciples, right, for human trafficking. Are you sure? Jesus wants a church that is sure, that has something to bring to God so that he can work his miraculous power through that vessel. And so what does Jesus say? Okay, we'll use this. And he says, have everybody sit down. And again, John doesn't have to mention the environment of which they sat down. There was obviously no chairs. That's not cultural. They sat on the floor. There was no floor. They were outside. So what did they sit on? There was much grass in the place. So the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Now again, John doesn't have to mention that detail. He's not a detail guy, but he mentions it. Because again, like I said, I'll come back to Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. Second verse says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. John is bringing reference to that psalm. Sometimes when sheep are anxious, they don't sit down and they don't eat of which God has that which God has provided for them. And so the great shepherd, which is another one of the I am statements. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd, Jesus Christ, tells everybody to sit down. You're all seated right now, except for my brothers Lloyd and Joseph back there. If I was to tell you right now, go to the Coles across the road and stay seated, how many of you know that would be impossible or it would be weird if you tried to stay seated and scrape the chair all the way to the coals? Why? Because you can't move in your own volition when you are seated. To be seated at that point in time was to trust in the one who was going to provide. Made them sit down, 5,000 in number. And he wants to position all of us in this room from a position of rest. Some of us in this room came in anxious. Some of us came into this room not well rested, not experiencing God's peace and his wholeness, and he invites you to sit down. Sit down positionally to trust that God is more than enough for us. We run around trying to find our solutions. We stand and take a stand for everything else, but when it comes time to sit, we find it hard to sit still. we find that the attention span of humanity is shortening and shortening and shortening and shortening. Why? Because we're so busy running around trying to find our own solutions rather than to be seated in His presence and trust that He is more than enough for you. Some of you are anxious about specific things that you're not sure whether God is going to be enough. The first step is to sit down. Because when you're seated, you're forced to see He has what it takes. And you're forced to see that by sitting down, you're saying, God, You are my source. Sit and see that He is your source. Psalm 118, right? Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that He is God. Sit and see that He is your source. And then Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed them to those who were seated. I find it interesting because I read it in the Greek too, that it mentions that it was only given to those who were seated. That might mean, that might imply some of them were still standing. I don't know. Why did you have to mention that, John? But He gave it, everybody who was seated, He gave them bread. So when Jesus teaches us to pray in Matthew chapter 6, give us this day our daily bread, He didn't teach His disciples to pull out a whole laundry or Santa Claus list for us to sit on His lap so that we can give Him a list of all our needs. How many of you know, just like Matthew 6 says, He knows your needs even before you ask, and all He tells us to pray is, give us this day, today, our daily bread. Everything that we need for today can be found if you sit down and trust Him. And so also the fish, as much as they wanted. I love that. As much as, so it wasn't like, you know, okay, you take one scale of the fish because we don't have enough. And you can take the fin, you know, and some of, how many of you like fish eyes? Any fish eye people in here? I only like them on my camera lens. You at the back there. Definitely from Mindanao. Yeah, you like my Mindanao people. Oh, give me the eyes. Like, it wasn't enough. Like, if you look logically, of course there's not enough, right? But the Bible says they had as much as they wanted to the point that there were leftovers. How many of you know that's a good party? That's a good feed, bro. And when they had eaten their fill, so every single one of them, there was not a single growling stomach left in that. Left on that hill that day. Every single person was so filled that they had more than enough, right? And then it says, gather up the leftover fragments that nothing may be lost. They ate until they were filled, and then there was so much left over. That's a God party. That's what happens when God shows up. That you don't need to worry about FHB, right? Family hold back. You don't need to worry about that because the family gonna be full. Now, the Bible doesn't say anything about sanitation after that filling. It's kind of, they did go to the Sea of Galilee after this, but we'll just leave it at that. I was just always wondered, oh man, they were all full. They gathered up the leftover fragments, and the Bible talks about how there were enough to fill 12 baskets. In Matthew 14's account, 12 baskets. Now, why does it mention 12 baskets? Have you ever thought about that? 12, again, to look at biblical pictures of numbers, 12 represents how many tribes of Israel there were in the Old Testament, meaning all of God's people fall into one of those tribes. In the New Testament, how many disciples were there? 12. They're representing that Jesus would impart His power initially to 12 disciples who would become inevitably the church. God's people, there's always more than enough. God's people, there's always an overflow. God's people, you are going to have everything you need if you trust in the Good Shepherd. Gather up the lost and leftover fragments that nothing may be lost. There's a stewardship that God wants us to have with the overflow. And as God pours out on your life in a society that just pursues greed, saying that we don't have enough. If you think about it for a moment, if you don't have your life centered on God, If you don't have your life centered on Christ, you are always pursuing more, more, more. I'm not famous enough. I don't have enough TikTok followers. I don't have enough money in this account. I don't have enough friends. We always want more of everything except weight. It's the only thing we want to lose. Right? Lose weight but gain everything else, right? Whereas Jesus also wants you to understand that when God, hear me out, church, when God blesses you, not if, but when you trust him and when he blesses you, what will you do with the blessing? When he pours out an overflow, what will you do? Steward it well. How will you steward that which God has blessed you with? Or are you just living to gain for yourself? Christianity is not a pyramid scheme in that sense. But it's the sense that God wants to pour out blessings so that you can be a blessing. If you've thought about it, in this world's economy, we have more than enough food on this planet to feed the world. We have more than enough finances in this world to take care of the world. And not that I'm promoting socialism or any of that, but I'm just saying, if the world actually followed the pattern of Christ, we would have more than enough for everybody. But it's just that in humanity and how we have become fallen, we've taken for ourselves because we don't trust that we have enough. But Jesus says to you and I am more than enough for you. So I'll close with these last two verses. Verse 13 and 14. So they gathered them up and filled the 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves that they took by those who had eaten. And when the people saw the sign, again, notice it was a sign that they had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world." See, the point wasn't the feeding. The point was that this sign pointed towards a deeper truth. And the deeper truth is you have trusted for actual physical bread that will pass by and has an expiry date. But do you trust in the one who is the bread of life, who is your sustenance, who is all that you need? When Jesus sat at the well in John chapter 4, and he said to the Samaritan woman, "You are going to take from water from this well, and you will be thirsty again. But I am the water of life. And when you partake of this water, you will never thirst again." But why is it that in the church, and churches all throughout Australia and the world, we still have people that hunger for everything else except for the presence of God? When we know that if in the presence of God, and when you hunger after Jesus, you will always be satisfied. And so he gives us bread. He gives us blessing. He gives you finance. And he asks you, what will you do? Like I said at the top, I don't believe for a moment that that young boy was the only boy that brought food with him. But he was the only one that brought it. Like, are you kidding me? Of 5,000 people in that crowd? Someone's got to bring a little sandwich or a Bunnings hot dog or something, you know, like tucked away in their pocket. Got nuggets in my pocket or something, you know, like something. Somebody's bought some, like a trail mix. But, you know, when the time comes, it's like everybody hid their stuff. Oh, but there's this little boy who's got, you know, he's just vulnerable enough to trust you, God. So he'll bring his 5 loaves and 2 fish, of which his mother prepared for him for lunch. So let me break down how this applies to you so that you have a Monday handle on this. Number one. Once the resources are put in your hands, put them in his hands and then sit down. Whatever resources. When you look on your paycheck, do you look at it as if it all belongs to you? Or do you trust him with it? And are you willing to sit down and watch him go to work powerfully? Watch him work with the overflow. Because God wants you to trust him so you'll be blessed to be a blessing so that the overflow will flow out on those who are around you. Final scripture for today is Philippians 4:19. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory to Christ, in Christ Jesus. Can you turn to somebody, just read this passage over their lives right now. Just read it over them. My God will supply every need of yours, Bianca, according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I'll read this over all of you here today. My God will supply every need of yours according to his riches, not your riches, his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To believe in the God of Philippians 4:19, you got to believe in the God of Philippians 4:13, that he can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You got to believe in the God of Philippians 4, verse 6, says, don't be anxious for anything, but with prayer and petition and with thanksgiving, present your requests before the Lord. Philippians 4, verse 7, and the peace that passes all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And in case you didn't get it, again, I say rejoice. Will you trust him today, church? Will you trust him with your bread? Will you trust him with what you have for lunch? Will you trust him today? That's all he's looking for. If you trust him, he will take what you have and multiply it and be a blessing to the nations if you'll just trust him. And it's not just financial. It's your talents and your gifts. It's the time that you have. Do you spend all of your time worried and consumed about your own self, or do you see this time as seed that you can use to be a blessing? What will you do with the bread that has been put in your hands? Time, talent, and treasure, all of it. Do you trust him with your bread to be your overflowing source? My God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Many of us came in here with needs, things we're anxious about. I'm here to tell you today, trust him with what you have right now. Sure, what you have right now is not enough. But if you trust him with it, watch him do his work. Watch him whip and watch him nay-nay that thing into action. Amen. I know that's a terrible dad joke, but I'm here to tell you and encourage you today that my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. How many of you believe that today? He is all that you need. And that God laid his life down in the form of Jesus Christ at the cross in order that you would have everything that you need. Psalm 23 starts with, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not have any wants. The Living Translation, the Lord is my shepherd. I have everything that I need. Will you trust him today? Let's bow our heads in this room today and close our eyes. I just wanted to give you this opportunity with everybody in this room. Whatever it is you came in here, whatever anxieties or fears that you may have had, may have walked in here with, as you begin to trust him today, I want you to release those things to God right now. And if you have come in here with some fears, anxieties, or things that you know you're holding on to in your mind and your heart that are really have really got you in a bind, as you release them to God, can you just lift your hands to him and just as the universal sign of surrender, whatever areas they are. I just sense for some of us, even relational, as you're putting your trust in him. So everybody with lifted hands, I just want to pray for every single one of us. Father, I just pray for these ones who have their hands lifted today. In whatever specific areas you're calling us to trust you, Lord, we release those burdens from our heart. Father, I thank you for your promise in 1 Peter that we can cast our burdens unto Jesus because you care for us. You love us. And Lord, with lifted open hands, Lord, we don't hold fists with agendas. We open our hands and trust God that as we release these things to you, you shall supply all our needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you for the overflow. Father, I thank you that the overflow is not to feed our greed, but to be a blessing to the nations, to be a blessing to others around us. Father, you are about to release, Lord God, promotion. I just sense in this room you're releasing promotion, provision, Lord God, supernatural provision in Jesus' name, that 2023, after the 3 years that we've had, I really believe with all my heart as I've been praying for this message that you are about to release an abundance, Lord. Lord, you promised to give us life and life in its fullness. I thank you, God, that you are releasing an abundance and overflow so that we can see our lives as blessings to others. So release that right now, Lord God. We trust you for it. we trust you for. Just take about 20 seconds right now and just convey your trust to him in your own words. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, God is relieving burdens right now. Thank you, Jesus. Just points of anxiety, like he's releasing his spirit of peace upon you right now. He's removing burdens, that which has caused torment, that which has caused anxiety and fear. He's taking it from your minds and your hearts. If you just release it to him, cast your burdens unto him. Just cast it to him. Father, we thank you for your peace, your fulfillment, that there's nothing lacking, that we have all that we need because you are with us. You never leave us, never forsake us. Thank you for your cross, Jesus, that you took upon all of our burdens, that we no longer need to be burdened with sin and death any longer. We thank you for this, Lord. Thank you for your precious peace in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.